Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Hugh Weber is a SDPB contributor and the host of the Potluck Society. It's a podcast. You can listen on our website at listen.sdpb.org, or you can download it to your mobile device from iTunes or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. He joins me now in the studios at the University of Sioux Falls. Welcome back, Hugh.
It's great to be here.
You know, I always say you can get it at iTunes or wherever else because I don't know any place else. Where else do you get podcasts? Well, I feel bad for the people who aren't on iTunes.
Yeah, there's services like Stitcher and SoundCloud, and it kind of distributes itself a little bit of everywhere. So if you can't find it, you aren't looking hard enough.
All right. So are you getting good feedback now that it's been going on for a few months, or people really connecting with the podcast itself?
Yeah, I had an unusual experience this past week, actually. I was away in Dallas for an event, and a woman, I noticed that she was walking towards me from across the room. And it turned out by the time she got me, her arms were open and she wanted an embrace. And the very first thing she says as I'm hugging this stranger is, "I feel like I've gotten to know you and South Dakota so well through the Potluck Society." Wow. She was someone who I now serve on a board with, and she had seen the links in my bio and whatever else. But I think it gives this glimpse of the specialness about this region to us, to the people that live here, but also gives a bit of an insight to those that may never have been.
Which is a great segue to our guest for today. Who are you going to introduce us to? Wild story coming up.
No, this is one that I didn't expect. Right. And yet it strikes as close to my heart as a story could. So I was in the midst of a 22-hour day trying to get back from Dallas to Sioux Falls, and I got a call from the chamber director in Milbank. Now, it's the worst secret in radio or the state of South Dakota that I love my hometown of Milbank. So it didn't take much to twist my arm. But the chamber director there shared this story of this guy, Ron Milbank, which seems like a character that Will Ferrell would play, but Ron Milbank, that found out that a number of years ago the town shared his name. He'll talk about a little of this in his introduction, but decided he wanted to do something meaningful and something selfless. So before I tell you too much about Ron, let's have him introduce himself and kind of the quest that brings him to Northeast South Dakota this week.
Hi, my name is Ron Milbank, and I am the creator of the No Roads Leads to Milbank Quest. In an effort to raise money for the Milbank School Endowment Fund that benefits the middle grade and high school for the city of Milbank, I look forward to showing up this Saturday at noon and celebrating the event with the town. So about 8 years ago, I heard about Milbank just out of a coincidence of us talking about cities that were named after our surnames. And really, there's two places named Milbank in the country, but one's in Virginia, and it's a big open field. And so when I heard about that, I, briefly looked at it, and I just put it on my bucket list to go visit one day. And this is the year. As I was planning the trip, my wife and I just got back from Washington, D.C. We took a week off and did a vacation there, and I decided that after that, I'd do this trip. And this was about, less than 90 days ago this all happened. I kind of sat down in front of a map program and said, okay, how long is it going to take me to get there, blah, blah, blah. And when I realized I was going to be, on a motorcycle for 10 days, I just fired off an email to the mayor, to Pat, and said, hey, my name's Milbank, your town's Milbank. I'm coming there on a motorcycle. Do you want to try to raise some money for your high school?
Now, I can tell you, it took me 40 years to feel comfortable calling the mayor of Milbank Pat, but I think Ron's he's a special guy. He has a background in tech and kind of the entrepreneurial startup world, and I think has had some success and finds himself in this unique place of being able to not only enjoy an adventure of his own, which is definitely part of it, but to do something special with it, which is a crazy kind of place to go immediately. If I'm going to take this, 3,400 mile round trip motorcycle ride, maybe I can raise $100,000 for the local school kids.
So what did Mayor Pat have to say when you first got the phone call?
Well, I'll say this. Pat Rafferty, the mayor of Milbank, is also a special human being. And I think the idea that he could go on a motorcycle ride with a guy named Milbank was probably thrilling. but also, he's a guy that's deeply committed to doing whatever it takes to literally put Milbank on the map, which is what's happening with this ride. And so got involved the chamber immediately. Ron has had conversations with the school superintendent. There's local economic developments involved. It really kind of spiraled from there very quickly. But, as you know, you don't want to just jump into a town like Milbank. And so I made sure that Ron had done his research and knew exactly what he was getting into.
I actually did quite a bit of research when we decided to do the event itself. I went all the way back to its founding and Jeremiah Milbank, and didn't realize he was part of Borden Milk Company. And that's where he made his first chunk of money to be able to invest with the railroad and actually brought the railroad through the area. I was interested to find out it wasn't always just called the city of Milbank, but it was the village of Milbank Junction in the beginning. I thought that was very interesting, you know, reading about the old grist mill and what service that was providing the community. And, you know, I just spent a lot of time trying to understand, you know, what I was riding into. You know, I think it's important to be able to represent the city correctly and the values and what they believe in. So, yeah, I found it interesting, you know, but it's very similar to kind of where I was brought up. So my grandparents had a farm in Yorkton, Saskatchewan, and they, you know, they grew wheat and barley and all that stuff. And, you know, if you look at Yorkton back in the, even today, I mean, the towns are so similar. Yorkton's a little bit bigger, but back in the, you know, 80s, when I was going there every summer, they were about the same size. And so I have a lot of personal connection to small rural farming communities.
So there's something I think, and I don't even know how old Ron is. You know, I spoke to him for the first time yesterday. Hopefully I'll meet him this weekend up in the Coteau Prairie. But there's something quizzical about this. And I'll admit, you know, I think there's a lot of meaning for the people of Milbank who genuinely are excited to have a visitor and have something to kind of rally around. But it leaves me wondering, and maybe this is a little lingering East Coast time in me, of like, what's in this for Ron? Like, you know, he's not taking any money. Laura indicated that they tried to pay for his hotel rooms and he refused that. So I just asked him what the journey means to him. What does it symbolize to him?
Well, I think it has to go to meaning. For me to hop on a motorcycle and drive across the country to go visit someplace for the sake of visiting it, if that's all it was about, I probably wouldn't do it. So I was looking for something with a little bit more meaning. Part of what it makes it valuable to me is there me not getting the value out of it, if that makes any sense. And I've underscored the whole fundraising campaign with the concept of being selfless. And just so you get some back information, the No Roads Lead to Milbank, right, is a spin-off All Roads Lead to Home. The fact that most people in America, in the regular conduct of their daily lives, either personal or business, may never find themselves in Milbank. And they may never know anyone who goes to Milbank High School. And so that's where the No Roads came from, right? You're going to live your life. Chances are you'll never get there. But maybe you should. Maybe it's worth a step out of the way. And so for people to donate to a cause, which there is, you know, for my friends, my family, my business associates, anyone we touch out in the world that doesn't have a connection with Milbank at all, it's purely a selfless thing. You know, they're not getting a hat, they're not getting a coin, they're not getting some certificate to get stuck on the wall, and their name isn't going to be put on some list of donors or some brick with their name on it laid in some foundation. So it's truly a selfless thing. And so that's what we built the whole thing on. So my contribution to the effort is, you know, the expense of me doing all this stuff. But in order for everyone else to be selfless, I have to set the example. I just think it's, you know, to call somebody blindly and throw a crazy idea at them and for them to latch onto it, was humbling. And I just hope it's a real benefit to the community.
He got genuinely emotional at the end. And it clearly means a lot to him. I think he's someone that has been given a lot or feels like he has accomplished and had some success and good fortune. And to be able to do it so freely and selflessly and have it be received as a gift has been a gift back to him. It's a remarkable thing.
And he's created an ethic around this. I mean, he knows exactly why he's doing it. He knows how he's doing it. He knows who's benefiting. He's very intentional about not taking anything. He hasn't embarked on this thoughtlessly.
No, nothing light about it. There was a part of me that wondered, and this is in kind of the broader interview, if there wasn't something in the political culture that was leading him. But he indicated that, you know, he had done that research as well. And Milbank's politically pretty similar to his own beliefs. So it's not like it's even this reach across that he's trying to do. Yeah. I think he just wants the world to see places like this. There's an affinity because of the name. And he recognizes that places like this deserve to be seen and heard and understood on some level as well.
So for the people of Milbank, is this just an opportunity to say, not only, you know, what does it mean for them?
Well, I think it's two things. I think that they recognize that he is putting a lot of energy and there was a marveling at the fact that he's boosting posts and actively advertising this in his social network. So there's just that aspect of, you know, being validated. You know, I always refer back to Amos Kobo saying we want to be known and loved. I think that they feel known or at least seen, and that the opportunity to reciprocate that is really significant. But then also there's a very practical aspect of this is if the Milbank Endowment Fund for the high school and the school system raises $100,000, that's an extraordinary amount of money in Milbank, in any smaller community in this state. So it has a real sense of benefit to the community, both in a kind of a relational sense and in a longer term. And the reality is Ron Milbank is going to be a Milbank for his entire life.
Yeah.
And so I think there's this sense of this is a relationship that matters and could be long lasting.
So tell me your action item is going to be the obvious, because I want to know if there's a town Weber. I want to know if there's a Walsh town.
Right.
Did you send people on a quest to figure out if they have namesakes lying across the nation and where those are?
Yeah. So this came up yesterday. So this will be in an episode in the following week. But my intention is exactly that. Yeah. So I happen to know I think they pronounce it Weber in this case, but there's a Weber University in Utah. And so I'm going to do some outreach and see if I can get myself some, a basketball jersey from Weber State. But I think that's exactly right. Look for those connections where they don't seem logical or don't seem direct, and see what it means to explore them a little bit and consider the people and places that share something with you. Even though it may be a distant connection to surname, there's something meaningful there.
It's an interesting journey into identity.
It is.
As well, an origin. And connection, unexpected connection.
That's right.
All right, we got 2 minutes left. We better talk about the Oda documentary because it's on the road.
Yeah, so we screen for the first time in Sioux Falls this Friday night at the Sioux Falls Design Center at 7:30. Then the following week, the 16th, we head to Bismarck, and we'll screen at Co Studio in Bismarck, North Dakota, which for some of you in the Lemon and Mobridge area may be the closest screening. We'll head to Fargo the next day on the 17th and screen at the Fargo Theater. So their beautiful, iconic marquee will say, you know, the Potluck Society and Oda Journey on it, which will be a noteworthy event all of its own. And then we're still looking to lock down our Rapid City. We're going to do an event in Vermilion at the end of June. We've had conversations with Flandre and Webster. So we're going to, there'll be additional screenings coming up, and you can find those on the potlucksociety.com or the South Dakota Public Broadcasting website as we release those. But it's just going to be fun to have that conversation. I know I've got good information that many of the stars of the documentary will be present. So like a great Hollywood premiere, you'll have to roll with Zach DeBoers and Molly O'Connors and Bobby Bolins instead of, Jake Gyllenhaal. But but it's going to be a fantastic evening here. We intentionally kept it small so that we could have conversation and really talk about what it means and what it means to be here and creative and focused on our communities.
What are you hoping to hear from those conversations? Do you go into that conversation with I will not have an expectation so that whatever arises I'm ready for? Or do you go in there thinking, I would like to know this from the audience?
Yeah, that's a great question. I hope that they see themselves in it, whether they're in the film or not, especially if they're in the film, I hope they see themselves in it. But I hope they see themselves in it and see the possibility that exists in this region. Sometimes we can assume that there's a barrier that's extremely high to that global success. The other side of it is I've screened it now for some folks outside the region. And someone who knows me well watched the film, and he said he kept forgetting it was me and just saying, if that guy can do that there, imagine what he could do everywhere else. Like, you know, if he can do that in the middle of winter in North Dakota, we need to plug him into Nashville and San Francisco and the world, which I think is a huge opportunity for all of us.
Hugh Weber is an SDPB contributor, the host of the Potluck Society. You can find it at listen.sdpb.org. Thanks, Hugh.
Thanks for having me.
We'll see you next time.